joining us on KNBR 680. What a thrill for me, of course, to have Ken the Hawk Harrelson on. And, boy, baseball broadcasting. First of all, Hawk, nice to see you.
Well, it's great to be seen. At my age, it's very good to be seen.
Boy, the Hawk is here, and I think for baseball broadcasters, anyone who's listened to the Hawk doing the White Sox games now 25 years, I think you just bring so much enthusiasm to the game. First of all, congratulations on the 25 years. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, it was nice. It was a beautiful evening. At first, I thought it was going to be nice, and then we got into it. The only thing bad was the weather. The weather was just terrible up until about 15 minutes before we started the ceremony. It was pouring all day long, you know. But once it started, I didn't prepare anything because I told them I wanted it to be short and sweet. You know, I had my family there. I had like 26 or 27 family members there and everything, and up from South Bend and Elkhart and Granger. Once we got into it, I was overwhelmed with, 25 years. That's a nice piece of your life right there, you know. And actually, I've been with the White Sox for 26 years. One year, the other year, we won't talk about. That was a GM year. I had a lot of phone calls from a lot of guys, and during the broadcast that I had, Mike Leary was our producer. Mike really did a fantastic job in getting this thing done right, and we had seven or eight. One of my dearest friends, Ray Fossey, you know, he was one of the guys that made a phone call. They had it on tape. And the commissioner, of course, Bud Selig and I have been very close for a long, long time. So it turned out to be a terrific thing.
Well, you've been broadcasting for 35 years. I didn't realize, boy, 35 years in the baseball business. And, of course, look, we remember your Kansas City A's days and, of course, the days with the Boston Red Sox, the Cleveland Indians after that. And what an impact you had in the game in 67. Boy, the miracle season of 67 for the Red Sox. But how did you become a broadcaster? How did all that come about?
Well, in 70, I broke my leg and my ankle. Slid in the second base against the A's, as a matter of fact. Raleigh Fingers was pitching, and he got me 0-2 and then screwed around and walked me, so I'm on first base, and I hit a ground Max Alves was the next year. He hit a ground ball to Sal Bando, and I'm going to second base. Dick Green was the second baseman. I didn't want to slide because the ground out there is like concrete, and all of a sudden I had just put on some new spikes that particular day, and by the time you get undecided like that, I heard a pow pow. Well, I knew what the first pow was. I knew my leg was broken. And then when I picked up my leg, my foot was pointing backwards. So I knew then it was not good. And then after that, the next year, I had just lost interest in playing, Marty, anymore. I had had two previous years to that, you know, 2 years prior to that, I had a player of the year and led the big leagues in RBIs. And I had just learned how to hit a little bit, you know. So, but I lost interest, and I wanted to go into golf, and I did. I retired from baseball in the middle of the season in 71, went into golf, and I got $225,000 worth of canceled checks to prove I cannot play golf. But I tried it for 2.5 years, and then finally, the day I decided that I was going to quit golf, Dick O'Connell called from the Boston Red Sox. They had called a year before and asked me to come up and do the color for the Red Sox. And I said, no, I want to give golf another season, you know, another year. And so I made up my mind with my wife that night we were going to quit. And I figured I'd go back into baseball in some capacity. But then the next morning, he called and he said, we want to come up. So I told him, I said, it's amazing you did because I just decided to quit golf last night, about 2 in the morning. So I flew up. They had like 700 or 800 applicants, but had a good feeling about getting the job I did. And that was started in 1975.
What a story. Ken Harrelson joins us. You know the voice. I don't even have to say his name during this interview. You just have to listen to him. But growing up around the game, did you know anything about broadcasting? And what broadcasters did you kind of admire or listen to?
Well, I grew up every day down in Savannah, Georgia with Harry Carey over KMOX and, you know, and Joe Buck and those guys. That's the only major league station we could get down there. I'd go to bed every night listening to the St. Louis Cardinals play. And ironically, they weren't my favorite team. Stan Musial was one of my all-time favorite players, but no, I grew up listening to Harry, and then when I played, of course, I got to be friendly with a lot of broadcasters because if they wanted, an interview or something, I'd be happy to do it for them, and you know how that relationship goes. So, over the years, I've just had so many good friends. And then when I got into broadcasting, I was lucky. I had Dick Stockton as a partner, and I had Gene Kirby. We had Gene Kirby, I should say, as a teacher, a mentor, so to speak. He used to do the Saturday Falstaff games with Pee Wee Reese and Dizzy Dean. And then I had two other good mentors, so to speak, and Howard Cosell and Kurt Gowdy. The coach would used to call me all the time. And he wanted me to do ABC Monday Night Baseball with him. And I never would. And he said, why? I said, because, Howard, you don't know what you're talking about. And I said, it'll just be a constant argument. We had a great relationship. And he was interested in, and it was funny because both those guys told me exactly the same thing in different meetings. Howard was the first one to tell me, he said, Hawk, he says, I'm going to give you the best piece of advice. You know how you talked about broadcasting. He said, don't try to please everybody. So I talked with Kurt a couple of weeks after that, and he told me exactly the same thing. He said, don't try to please everybody because you can't. He said, the most mail I ever got, he said, I was doing the Rose Bowl game with Ohio State and one of the West Coast teams, we'll say whoever, SC. And he said, I got 80,000 letters after that game, 40,000 from Ohio State fans chastising me for being favorable to SC, and 40,000 from SC fans chastising me. He said, that means that's the greatest broadcast they ever had.
Well put. I agree with you. You just can't please everyone all the time. But you become a legend, really, of Chicago baseball, and so well known, over the internet and, of course, the cable TV and everything else. And there's so many phrases that you have. And how did you come about the phrases? Put it on the board or, those kinds of things?
Marty, they just happen. You can't sit around and you say, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to say that or I'm going to nickname this guy the Big Herd or I'm going to nickname this guy One Dog or I'm going to nickname this guy Blackjack McDowell, They just happen. It's got to be spontaneous. And most of the phrases that I have come up with are phrases I used when I was playing. Yeah. I'd be in right field at Fenway Park, and we'd be playing Minnesota in a big ball game, and Jim Lonneborg would be on the mound, Harmon Killebrew at the plate. And he'd throw him a slider low in the way and strike him out, and I'd say, grab some bitch! Or I'd say, he gone! those are things I said when I played. And certainly, you can put it on the board, yes, evolved later on. That happened because actually we have a golf tournament and a swimming meet. The golf tournament, I got an exemption to play while I was broadcasting with the Red Sox in Pleasant Valley in Sutton. In the PGA event, and I hadn't been playing, but all of a sudden I started hitting the ball pretty good, and I shot 68 the first day, and then the second day, after about six holes, I birdied this par 3. I knocked in about a 25-foot putt for birdie, and back in those days, they had manual scoreboards. They didn't have the electronics that they have today, and there was a guy up there who was the scoreboard. He was reading a book, so as I walked off the green, he hadn't moved. I said, put it on the board, And then where the yes came was that my daughter was a very competitive diver and real good. And every time she'd get off the 10-meter board, my behind got so tight you couldn't have pulled a greased tee out of there with a pair of pliers. And every time she'd hit that dive, she'd come up and I'd go, yes! And one day, I forget who it was, hit a home run, and he's going around, starting to go around the bases, and I'm watching the ball go out of the ballpark, and I said, you can put it on the board, yes! And it just came out, together. But and then lately, people about Carlos Quinton made a play in right field that you just can't make, And I said, you got to be bleeping me. I mean, you can't believe the response. But I used to say that same thing when somebody made a good play. I've said that so many times when I'd hit a rocket down to Brooks Robinson at third base and he'd come up with it and throw me out at first, and I'd be crossing the bag. I'd look back and you got to be bleeping me, But all these hawkisms, they call it, they just happen. They just happen. And don't get me wrong, it's been a nice ride, and a lot of people have enjoyed them.
Yeah, you have fun broadcasting, though. I mean, you really do.
Yeah, I do. In fact, our whole team here, Steve Stone, my partner, and then prior to that, Darren Jackson. I've never had a bad partner. I've always had great partners to work with. And our current crew here with the White Sox, with Stoney and myself, and then you got Ed Farmer and DJ on radio. I've never seen a crew of announcers who have as much passion for this particular ball club, the White Sox, and wanting to win and hating to lose like we do. And I treat it just like I did when I played. When we lose, I'm pissed. I mean, I really am. When we give a game away, I'm even madder. And we win, I'm happy. It's just that simple. That's the way the game, that's the way I was taught. And I know every broadcast partner that I've had, you know, over the last, not Dick Stockton, because he was helping me with, you know, the dynamics of broadcasting, and I was helping him with the dynamics of baseball. But everyone I've had since then, I told him, I said, it's just like playing. You got to bust your butt every day. And I listen to a lot of the Coast games, and I hear you guys a lot after we, you know, because I'll finish the game in Chicago. I got a 100-mile drive down to South Bend. And one of my favorite guys is Ray Fossey. You know, Ray, I love to listen to Ray on the air. And you got, you know, Kenny Korak, who I'm looking at right now, and some of the other guys. You know, y'all got a good crew of announcers out here.
Well, John Miller gets the Ford C. Frick Award this year. I'm sure you have some thoughts about John Miller.
Terrific. Well-deserved. He deserves to be there. I knew he would be there. He's been one of the best in the business. There's no question about it. My all-time favorite announcer was Ernie Harwell on radio. And, of course, Kurt Gowdy. I get to listen to Kurt more now, too, because of the West Coast games. And, I told Kurt the last time I saw him, Kurt, I just forgotten how great you are. You know, it's a pleasure. Bob Uecker I love. You know, every time I have a chance to listen to a Milwaukee game for a few innings, I get Uecker. And it's great to see he's coming back, you know, after going through that heart situation and the surgery. But we've been blessed to have so many great announcers in the game. And baseball announcers, I think, are a little different than basketball or football or other sports, because it's a whole summer every day. Every day. And when I have people, I had somebody, we just came in from Seattle. I had a family come in it was a father. He was about 27 or 28, and he had three kids. And he said, Hawk, we've grown up with you. We've grown up with you. And I tell you, that's very meaningful. Every time, Marty, every time we fly in Chicago, like, and I see all those lights and those homes and everything else, and you realize the responsibility that you have and how many people's lives you touch, I tell you, it's pretty profound.
Well, you do it so well, and the Hawkisms made you famous, really, and people love having you being part of the family, and that's part of being a baseball broadcaster. We grow up with you, and for me, you know, I go back to the Brooklyn days and Mel Allen and Red Barber and, you know, Vin Scully and Russ Hodges and people like that, and I remember it as clear as day today. But do you get a lot of mail from people?
Oh, I get a bunch, and it's like one family up in Seattle, Big Sox fans up there, he caught me after a ball game and he says, you know, you got our whole family doing that now. Everything that's said in our family, you got to be bleeping me. You got to be bleeping me. And, you know, it really is touching when you realize the magnitude of, and now with the internet, and you can get, you know, baseball anywhere, any game you want, you know, with people are watching on their iPads and stuff. And they can listen to radio things. And I'll tell you something else that's really helped, too, the last 2 years has been MLB Network. Major League Baseball Network has done an unbelievable job. I mean, they have done a fantastic job. Tony Petitti, I think, is his name. I've never met him, but I think he's the guy that started it up and put all the dynamics together and all the inner workings. And anytime you want baseball, you know where to go.
You know, it's funny you mention, your Hawkisms. You know, I do the call-in show, and I get calls all the time, and people are on hold for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I try to get to the calls quickly. But if I go to call and he's not there, you know what we play.
Do you? He gone. A lot of people have that. They have that on their, you know, on their telephones and everything. But, yeah.
If I go to that call and he's not there, he gone. And that's, I hear you, I must hear you a few times every weekend. But this year you're on the Hall of Fame ballot for the Ford C. Frick Award. I voted for you, I'm proud to say. I think it would mean something for you to be recognized by your peers, but I'll say to you what I said to Bill King. You don't need a Hall of Fame for that recognition because you are a Hall of Famer, and I mean that.
Well, thank you for those words. It would be nice, there's no question about that, but I can really tell you that I don't think about it. The one reason I would really like for it to happen, of course, is that, but the main thing is for my children and our grandchildren. We have two grandsons that, in fact, I talked to him this morning, and he said, this is the Hawk, Comcast, Sportsnet, fans' best friend. He's going to be He's going to be 6 years old February, and he's already starting to say some of this stuff. But that would be why I would really like to, for that to happen, because of my children and grandchildren. It'd be great.
Well, what do you say to fans when they say, well, fans who are not White Sox fans say, boy, the Hawk, he's always a White Sox fan. What do you say to people?
I say it's they call me a homer. They may be the biggest homer in the history of the game. And I think that's a great compliment because of the fact I am a homer. The only difference is our Sox fans know we don't gild a lily. Stoney or myself, we're the one. I mean, if somebody on our club makes a mistake, we say it, you know. But we just want our club to win. It's just like playing. You want your club to win. And when I read story, I have a lot of critics. There's no question about that. But it doesn't bother me one bit. As a matter of fact, as I said, when I see where somebody writes that I'm the biggest homer, I love it. It's just a little quiet smile comes across my face.
Great to see him here. The Big Hurt, the One Dog, Blackjack McDowell, those are all the Hawks' nicknames for the players. Hawk, thanks so much for being on. Always a pleasure to see you.
Ditto, Marty, ditto.
Okay. That's the Hawk. More coming up on the Sports Leader.